Coming up, I'm going to prepare you to be prepared for an economic collapse. And then recruiters and candidates fighting on pay transparency. And then Apple steps up to do more training. And we're going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where I coach you so that you have the competitive edge to make more money and more impact. Excited to have you with us. Okay, so I was talking to some family members this weekend. Oh boy. And let's get real here. I think there is good cause for concern. I would not freak out, and I would not be walking around the sky is falling as it relates to the U.S. economy. So inflation is high, right? Wait to see. Does it begin to cool off during the hot summer months of summer? We'll see. Interest rates up. You know, supply chain still disrupted. Biden, you know, can't seem to get a hold on inflation, the oil supply, and a lot of people are freaking out. They just are. Not everybody, but a lot of people are freaking out. So with inflation high and interest rates going up, we're entering into this, what they call stagflation, okay, where inflation is high, but the economy is also suffering and in multiple areas. And so we're looking at a possible recession. Most people pretty much, I should say most economists are predicting we're probably going to have a recession of sorts. Is it going to be bone crushing? I don't think so. Just me personally, I'm not freaking out. However, let's just talk about this. How do you begin to circle the wagons, if you will, and prepare yourself in an uncertain economy? And I think we are teetering on the precipice of things being bad. I really think so. I mean, it depends on where you sit on inflation, but while inflation is up, wages are up too, and it has been a good time, and we saw many businesses grow during the pandemic. So we're in this weird cycle where we don't know which way things are going to go. You would have thought that the economy would have been worse given the fact that we had a global shutdown. So I just want to be practical today to give you some professional and financial advice to go, all right, I don't know if companies are going to start laying people off. We just don't know. We're seeing reported on this show last week that tech companies are laying people off. I think you're going to see the hospitality industry cool off. Airlines, when consumers pull back, jobs are cut. And that's what we're seeing. So all of us have felt the effects one way or the other of this shifting economy and certainly higher inflation. So let's look at some solutions, financial solutions. First of all, here at Ramsey Solutions, if you're new to this program and you're new to Ramsey Solutions, they're the mothership of the Ken Coleman Show. And we've been in this game for over 30 years, founded on Dave Ramsey, our founder's financial principles to get people out of debt and then have them save and be able to live and spend and give like few other people who have financial peace, meaning that I live on less than I make. I'm not overwhelmed with debt. I'm not living paycheck to paycheck. So we have 7 baby steps. You know, if you are in debt right now or you're living paycheck to paycheck, let's get control of expenses and debt. Let's get control of our budget, and let's begin to spend wisely. Okay, that's one thing that you need to be doing. Look, paying off debt, let's say that if you take all of your debt and you pile it together and your total debt payment per month is $1,000 a month. I'm just using a round number. And you pay that debt off, you've given yourself a $1,000 a month pay raise. So many times people are freaking out when things are tight and they go, I got to make more money. And that is a good suggestion. Second or third jobs, good move. But also cutting expenses is the double whammy, right? If we could go work a little harder, or I shouldn't say work harder, we work more hours in order to bring more income and we are cutting expenses, then all of a sudden we've got some surplus. Saving to where you get an emergency fund. What if you had a 3 to 6 month cushion just for your bills? You didn't have to live off of it, but you had the cushion there while you're trying to find something if you did get laid off. These are the kind of steps you've got to take. But let's also look at the professional preparation. Okay. So we are in a weird season of our economy. I mean, this is pretty wild. So we've got more jobs available. I believe the number is north of 11.3 million jobs that are available. And right now, unemployment's still historically low, and let's just call it we're about 8 million people unemployed. So if you have, let's just say we reported on some tech companies that were laying people off last week. Let's say you get laid off. Well, the good news is there is still this big gap for workers. So if you aren't just relying on submitting a resume online and hoping that you get seen and noticed, because you won't. So if you're not doing that, but you're actually getting out there and making connections to people you know and looking for opportunities and seeing things that are out there, and you say, hey, okay, I could transfer this skill, I could transfer this experience, and I can get a job. Here's the good news. If you were to get laid off as a result of the recession, there's an opportunity for you. These jobs aren't just going to disappear. Like, companies aren't just going to go, well, we're going to pull this back. You'll see some pullback, and you might see some hiring freezes, but you still have the opportunity to work. And so right now, you've got to be going, okay, if something were to happen, what's my escape route? Now, we've used this analogy on the show before. You know, you're on an airplane, and before you take off, you know, the flight attendants are up there doing this number in case of water evacuation. Here's your exit road, blah, blah, blah. And you follow the lights, you know, this. It's really the same strategy. If I got laid off today, what would I do? How many of you could answer that question with an actual plan? Not, well, I'd go take a Taibo class and punch something because I'd be so mad. And no, I'm not talking about that. I'd freak out. I'd drink a half a bottle of vodka. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, what would you do? You know, my family makes fun of me, Alex, for this. But I am Mr. Storm Vigilant Guy. I just am. I don't live in fear, but if we have a tornado system coming through with tornadoes, I've got the app, I'm paying attention, I've got a plan in place, I know what I would do. You know why? Because I'll tell you this, my wife and three teenagers basically think that I'm a little silly. But here's the deal. If the tornado siren goes off, and if it's in the air, I'm telling you, I know what I'm doing for all of them. So if you were to be laid off today, what would you do? So I know exactly what I'm thinking. I know where my mattresses are. I know what room we're going into. I've got everything in place. I mean, I got the dog figured out because I've thought through it. And so I implore you to do this today. What would you do? Is your resume up to date? Do you have three or four of them ready to go? Who are your top five friends you'd call right away? What about some acquaintances in your industry? When was the last time you stayed in touch with them? Uh-oh. See, we're always prepared if something goes wrong. If you use the proximity principle and you activate it day in and day out, when something like this happens, the good news is you're so much more prepared. So much more prepared. Now, why? Why do we do this? Why am I imploring you? Because if you are prepared financially and you are prepared professionally, when the shocks of life hit you, you absorb them. You absorb the shock. You're like, okay, sucks, stings, ugh. Oh, wait a second. I've prepared for this financially. I've prepared for this professionally. I'm going to be okay. Coming up next, we'll break a few stories down you need to know about.
Over 280 million people have been affected by data breaches this year alone. The need for cybersecurity is exploding. Cybersecurity jobs will grow 33% in the next decade. To meet this demand, Bethel School of Technology has launched a program in cybersecurity. Bethel School of Tech's online boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training with the highest chances of post-school employment. And they do it at a fraction of the cost in a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, giving you the competitive edge to make more money and experience more meaning in your work. All right, so you know I love ZipRecruiter. I talk about ZipRecruiter every day. Don't check out because I've got a real testimony. This is fantastic from one of our viewers or listeners. Gabrielle sent us a note the other day. With Ken's advice, I went on ZipRecruiter last month. I received a call from one of their recruiters within days of signing up. I had two interviews with a well-known company, and I got the job. I never thought I would land this gig. It's what I enjoy doing, and it actually aligns with my interests. And here's the cherry on top, Ken. My starting salary is 45% more, and I got a very generous benefit package. Way to go, Gabriella. Hey, I don't know why you wouldn't sign up if you're looking to move or you know you're moving. It's free to you. Gabriella did it along with tens of thousands of other Ken Coleman Show listeners. This is just the people we hear from. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Let them help you out. All right. Let's get to a couple stories I can't wait to get to. We call it in the news. All right. So as I have been saying, that this trend is only going to pick up. It's going to be a runaway train. What is it where companies are creating their own training process or certification process or education process for candidates? They're not relying on outside education institutions. They're just doing it themselves. Google has done it. Now Apple. They've introduced two professional training and certification programs to teach IT workers, or quite frankly, anyone, whether you're an IT worker or not, who wants to start a career in IT. How to deploy, manage, and support iPhones, Macs, and other Apple devices in the workplace. Now, this is huge because I endorse Bethel Tech. They are the best training organization in the country if you want to go into tech, meaning you have no tech experience till you have some and you want to level up. Bethel Tech's got a 9-month online program that's less than $15,000. We have over 100 Ken Coleman Show viewers, listeners already actively in the program. So they're the best, and they're going to get you a job too. But this is Apple hiring for Apple. Apple training for Apple. And you're just going to see more and more of this. This Apple device support course, an Apple deployment and management course. That's what the two courses are, and they're sequential. So the first one, Apple device support, covers tools, services, and best practices for Apple products. The course covers about 14 hours of content. Once it's completed, you take an exam to earn your certification and to advance. The next course you advance to is the Apple deployment and management course, show you how to configure, manage, and secure Apple products. About 13 hours of content in this course. Each exam costs $149. Apple said it will offer scholarships covering the cost of the exams to students in its community education initiative. People with financial difficulties can apply for vouchers, and I think that's all great, but goodness gracious, if you're hungry enough, you could scrap $300 together for both courses, both tests. And again, anyone interested in technology, pursuing high-paying IT jobs, they will stand out. The Bureau of Labor Statistics found the number of jobs in the computer and information technology field, listen to this, folks, is expected to grow by 13% in the next 8 years. There are about 42,000 openings in this field each year. This is really exciting. The median yearly wage for these careers is about $97,000. Now, you compare that in technology. This is the median. It's much higher than the median yearly wage for all other jobs, which is $45,000. So I'm not trying to turn this into a commercial for Bethel Tech because I really don't care if you don't like it. I'm telling you, it's why I endorse them. I mean, we have students right now that are getting big raises, big bumps, betheltech.net. Just tell them Ken told you to call. But this is why I've been talking about this. This is why I'm so excited to... And by the way, if you know of other trade-type schools that may want to partner with us, put us on to them. Here's why. You know why I'm so high on Bethel Tech? Because I'm endorsing something that's a fraction of the cost of a degree. You're looking at six figures of tuition for a computer science degree. And that's what it's worth. That sound right there, that's the new sound. I made it up, Nathan. Let me give a little extra there. That's what it's worth. Because Apple and Google, along with Bethel Tech and a myriad of other companies out there, can train you for a fraction of the cost. And here's the great news. I just gave you the numbers. Technology is in every field. Nonprofits need tech workers. Ministries need tech workers. Education, business, science, you name it. Technology is everywhere. And I mean, my goodness. Let me just tell you this. This is a little extra thing. I'll get to the next story. Somebody's listening and watching right now, and you're going, I think I'd like to work in tech, but I have zero experience other than helping my wife figure out her Excel spreadsheet. Doesn't matter. You can be trained. You can be trained, and you will be hired, and you will be promoted, and you can get in. There is no lid for anybody who wants to get in technology. They can teach you, and you can absolutely grow in your career and crush it. No qualifications, no experience needed. So I feel like somebody needed to hear that today, and you need to kick the tires, BethelTech.net. All right, now, next story. And this is relevant because if you get involved with recruiters and they start asking you your salary expectations, there's something to learn from here. So this is a story about a Reddit post. Now, if you don't know what Reddit is, it's like the online water cooler, any discussion thread. People jump in and you can pretty much jump into an online discussion about anything. So on June 15th, there was a big kerfuffle. By the way, that's a word we should all use more. It just means dust up, argument, whatever. But it was a kerfuffle. And thousands of people commented on this one thread. So what happened was there was a user who went on and detailed their experience as a gig employee who makes about $100,000 annually. And they had been approached by a recruiter. So the recruiter asked for an interview and inquired about this. And then the user jumped on the interview and said, all right, tell me about the salary. So the recruiter responded, well, what is your expected salary for such a role? And this user says, this is a blankety blank, blank way to either try and underpay someone who doesn't know how to ask for more or to pressure a person who knows their worth into taking less. So this this person on Reddit disclosed their salary expectations and then their current salary, and then they were told their demands were unrealistic. The recruiter said, this is way out of our budget for this role and, quite frankly, an unreasonable expectation. We are no longer interested in you as a candidate for making such demands. For future endeavors, I recommend you keep yourself more appealing to prospective employers by reducing your standards to something more in line with your skills. You'll never find work with this attitude. Wow. So the recruiter got a little pissy. Didn't like it. Well, then everybody got all up in arms about how the recruiter treated, which I understand. I think it's out of line. Most of the commenters commiserated with the poster and shared their own negative experience with recruiters lowballing them. So here's the deal on this. I don't know why the lecture from the recruiter, other than the recruiter was probably mad and desperate to get somebody and thought they had somebody, and then they got disappointed when they found out the salary. But the person on Reddit did nothing wrong. I mean, they said, look, this is what I make right now. I make $100,000 as a gig employee, meaning I'm a contractor. This is what I get paid. And so for this role, I'd want to make this. Now, look, the recruiter doesn't have to give you a lecture. The recruiter can go, okay, I don't think we can do that. But, you know, whether or not, and see, here's what I don't know in this article. Here's the point. I don't know if the person on Reddit was unrealistic in their demands or not, but here's the deal. You got to decide, what are you willing to leave this job for to go over here? You got to be okay with it. Don't let recruiters push you and pressure you into doing something you don't want to do. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. If you're watching live, give us a thumbs up. And I see you all did that. That was fantastic. And the YouTube live crazies are fantastic. Now they're talking about a kid. I need a judge show. I told you I want a segment where I wear a judge's robe and I rule on something and then hit the gavel. I need that. We got to figure out that segment. Did we say we were working on something like that, Alex? We are? All right. I think it's something to do with should you take the job or something like that, or so should you quit? I don't know. We'll have to come up with that. I need one of those tearaway judge outfits, and I could just put it on quickly during the break and then rip it off at any time. That could be fun. Okay, this is very exciting. So one of the things we do on the show when somebody steps into their dream job is we give them a chance to tell us a story. We call it the Dream Scream, and Ben is on the line with his Dream Scream. This is very fun. He's joining us in Leesburg, Virginia. Ben, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how's it going, Ken?
Well, it's going great. Now, from what I understand, it's going great for you. Is that right?
Yeah. It's been going really great.
All right, I want to hear the story here. So before we get into what you're doing now, what were you doing prior to stepping into the dream job?
Yeah, so I mean, I was working at a tech startup, really not a great environment, and then got let go, and then just kind of had a period of just trying to figure out what I was going to do for a career. And I worked at a bakery, I worked at a wine bar, and was just kind of like looking for some direction. And I'm not sure if you remember me, but I called in like a couple months ago, and you had some like really really good advice, which was, I wanted to start like a film production company, and I just, I failed and I just felt like giving up. And you suggested, kind of putting into like a column, like things I did well, things I didn't do well, and things I didn't know. And doing that exercise was like so, so helpful, because like there are some things I just didn't know how to do. Like, how do you calculate margins on a film shoot? How do you do this? How do you do that? And I kind of list them all out. And then I went the next step, and I kind of, this might be a plug for LinkedIn. But LinkedIn is like such a powerful platform now. And I don't know if anyone has really been talking about how awesome of a tool it is, but I just went on LinkedIn and I just found people in the industry and just shot them a quick message. Like, hey, my name's Ben. I'm looking to like start a video production company. I have some questions. Would you be willing to like hop on a Zoom call with me? And I ended up getting like 50 to 75. I got to calculate the exact number, but between 50 and 75 of these like Zoom calls with people all over the industry. I've talked with people in France, people in Italy, people in California.
Wow.
And it was like super cool. And I really got to like calculate the numbers here, but I probably sent out way more messages than people, actually responded to, but that's kind of like how it works.
Yeah. So wait a second.
So what I did was
50 to 75 people in the industry that you wanted to go in. This is the proximity principle right here, folks.
Yeah.
The proximity principle says in order to do what Ben wants to do, he's got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. And he started with LinkedIn. So you have all these conversations.
Right. And so one of the things that I always kind of like let the conversation free form. I said, hey, here's, give them a little context. And I kind of let the conversation kind of go with their story. But I always ended the conversation with like two really, really important questions. The first one was, were there any books or courses that you took that helped you?
Nice.
And the second one was there any people in your network that you would feel comfortable connecting me with? And I always kind of made sure that they would feel comfortable doing it, because like, just random guy on the internet. But surprisingly, most people actually were like, oh yeah, let me connect you with so-and-so. Let me connect you with so-and-so.
Wow.
And that kind of just had like a ripple effect.
Wow.
And so there's this company in Leesburg where I am now that I've been following for a year, and they just do some like amazing, amazing film work. I was like, man, if I were to start a company, it would be like this company. Am I allowed to say the name of the company? Is that cool?
Sure.
Yeah. So the company is called Distant Moon. They're based in Leesburg, Virginia. They just do just phenomenal film work. I was like, man, if I were to start a company, it would look like Distant Moon. And sure enough, by doing this, like, hey, do you have someone that could connect me with so-and-so? I ended up getting connected with one of the guys who founded Distant Moon. And he wasn't there any longer, but I just kind of, and then eventually I got connected with someone who works at Distant Moon. And said, hey, my name's Ben. I'm just looking to, ask some questions. And the guy goes, would you actually be interested in working at Distant Moon? And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, pause. So this is huge. I want people to get this.
Yeah.
You didn't talk to the guy. Once you got connected from one of the founders who was no longer at Distant Moon, but once he put you on the phone with somebody at Distant Moon, you didn't ask for a job.
Right. I asked for advice.
You asked for advice, and he gave the advice and then says, well, would you like to work for us?
Yes. Yep.
That's exactly fascinating. Yeah. And what'd you say?
Well, I said, sure. And then so I interviewed, but what was so cool about this interview was that, all that work I did with like interviewing people on LinkedIn, like really actually prepared me for the interview in a way that I wouldn't have known how to do before. And just knowing how like the industry works in ways I didn't know. So, and all that kind of like paid off during the interview. because I felt like super confident in what I was talking about.
Yeah, you
and
did.
And the job, I mean, I've only been here for a week.
You just started a week ago.
But it's been awesome. And it's so, this company is so unique in how they approach film production, because most, I'm sure you know this too, but like most, you know, film companies operate, you know, on a contractor basis, right? So they're hiring their staff and people, like freelancers and stuff, to work on these projects. This company is very unique, and they want everything to be as a team. And so, like, I actually just got out of a meeting where we just had a debrief on a project that we shot out in Michigan.
Wow.
We talked about what went well and what didn't go well, how we could do things better. That never happens in the film industry.
All right, so I've got to ask you a question. Yeah. So what I'm not clear on is, I know that you had tried to do your own film company prior to this a couple of months ago.
Correct. Yeah.
So how much experience did you have? Or maybe another way to ask it is, did it matter? Did your experience, because it didn't sound like you have a lot of experience, just hunger, and they were like, hey, we want you. Paint the picture for me.
So I did have a portfolio of the work I had done, and so I was able to talk during my interview about the work I did within my portfolio.
Got it. Yeah. And they were able to see your work.
And they were able to see the quality of the work and know that I kind of knew what I was talking
about.
So it wasn't just like a... and so the other thing too that was really interesting is like kind of going through, and like I said, you know, I know this sounds like a plug for LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is such a awesome platform for this kind of stuff. But like, you know, you start connecting with these people and you start hearing themes. And so like one of the big themes that I kind of got from these conversations was like, you know, instead of like leading with your qualifications and how awesome you are, always kind of start with like, what problems are you trying to solve? What's your vision, you know, for the company? You just ask those questions to people, and it's just like shocking. You know, they're like, they open up to you, and then you look for ways to kind of solve those problems and things like that. But like all that kind of started with these, you know, LinkedIn conversations. But it's been great. It's been great so far.
So you've been there a week, and what does it feel like emotionally at the end of the day? What is, you know, when you're driving home?
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, you know, just to be frank, like a lot of times it's like the film industry can be really hard on a lot of people. And the reason why is because there's not a sense of stability in the film industry. You know, you're going from job to job. You don't know who you're working with. There's not a lot of trust with the people you're working with just because of the contractor thing.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, man, I feel like I have the best of both worlds. I can kind of be creative, you know, work in the film industry, yet have that stability and that trust that comes with working with a team.
Yeah.
Well,
that's exciting,
great.
Man.
Like,
that's
yeah,
so
yeah,
great.
Yeah, it's so great.
All right. So I want to give you time to do your dream screen. We only got about a minute left. I'm going to ask you a yes or no question for the audience. Is it worth putting yourself out there to be able to ask, to be able to learn, to connect, to get the opportunity to do it? Yes or no? It absolutely is. All right. This is exciting. A couple months ago, Ben called the show, got a little advice, decided to get after it, made a ton of connections, did the proximity principle on steroids. He's 1 week into his dream job. Count it down from 3, 2, 1, and let's hear your dream scream. Ben, take it away.
All right. So I just count down 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1. I'm living the dream.
There it is, folks. He's living the dream. Hey, you know what? That's why we do the show right there. Practical advice so people can step into their God-given talent and do the work they were born to do. And you can hear it on this kid. He's bubbling over. I can't contain him. And that's joy. That's the juice that I talk about every day. And you know what? He just put himself out there to ask questions. What can I learn? And who do I need to know? And those two questions led to the job offer to do his dream job. Thank you, Ben, for sharing your story. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.